Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I have a few, I believe, words from the Lord. I was thinking about the message Brother Dan preached the other night about being a rock in the billows. And as I was sitting here this morning and different times here, I've looked at this building here. It's not a rock, but I look at these trusses and the free span distance that they cover, and I kind of marvel at them, to tell you the truth. I just have to take it by faith that they're designed to take that kind of weight, the way they go up in the middle. But I believe they're going to work. They're designed that way, and they do bear the strength of it. I was looking at all that this morning. I was looking over there on the side at those, where those trusses and those pillars come down. And I wonder, I don't know what the size of the hole was underneath those pillars right there, but I promise you there's a big hole under those that's filled with concrete. I don't know how big they are, but I know it's there, or these trusses wouldn't be like they are this morning. And I want to think this morning a little bit about pillars and about being a pillar and about spiritual prosperity. I know it's kind of a simple subject, but I want to look at a few scriptures that I believe the Lord has something for us to think about this morning. Revelation 3 and 12, it says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." You know what a pillar is? That's not really all that magnificent. Lots of pillars in stores, these big malls, lots of times behind the wall and behind a corner, there's a pillar. And you don't ever even see it, but it bears weight. And without it, the place would collapse. The Lord said that he would make to those that overcome, that he would make a pillar in the temple of my God. We have a song that says something about if you would be a pillar in the church of God. I want us to think about this morning. God wants you and me to be a pillar in his church. He wants us to be able to bear weight, seen or unseen, to bear weight so that things can continue. The Lord has a building, and we're told in Ephesians there it talks about the building of God. We're told that the Lord has a building and that we're all a piece of it. And the Lord wants you and me to be a part of that. I think about the lives that we live. Sometimes we come to this meeting and we come to other meetings and we go to the altar, which if we need to pray, it's a great thing to do. But I want to tell you something. God has more in mind than that. And he is trying to make a pillar out of you and me. He is hoping that you and I will take the things that he says and put them into our life, and we hear message after message from the Lord. We hear from him his heart where he is trying to prick at us. And he begins to speak to us. And you know, every time he does that, what he's trying to do is he's trying to take us from where we are to where he wants us to be. And our response to that, whether we just get under the, I don't want to say the spell of the service, but under the anointing of the Lord, the emotions that we may feel, the needs that we may have, and we come down and we pray, folks, that is the beginning of a journey that God wants to build into your life and mine. And He wants us to be diligent and careful that all these little places that He deals with us, that is the dealings of the Lord. That is where He is. When He speaks to you, He is expecting us to go from there and build on that. He's expecting that to make a change in our life. When He deals with us about something, doesn't have to be a great emotional outpouring. When the Lord begins to reveal to me, I want you to be more diligent about a certain area of your life. Maybe it's just your prayer life, which is pretty important. You know, when we walk in the light of that, there's something that begins to happen in our life. Because God has designed us to bear weight. He's designed us to mature and to go beyond the place where that every meeting we feel like we've got to start over again, or we really don't know where we're at. I want to encourage us today. I believe the Lord has some scriptures for us that He would like to take us practically from where we are, and next year at this time, because we have diligently applied all the things the Lord has dealt with us about. And when He sends a message, you know what? We don't have to feel a great emotional outpouring for that to be the dealings of the Lord. When He burdens His word on someone's heart, and then He sends it to us, that's the word of the Lord to us. That's for us to take notes on. That's for us to take home with us. That's for us to begin to apply that in our life. Because the Lord has not just a plan to keep us saved. That's the most basic element of it. And it's a wonderful element of it. But that's the beginning of what God wants to do in your life. And I hope today that the Lord will unveil a picture to us of what He's wanting to do. He's wanting to create in our life some things that's not created yet. He wants to do some things. And so He sends to us His word over and over. He deals with our heart in our family, in our devotions at home, our private devotions. We read the word. You know what that is? That's the Lord speaking to us. That's Him telling us, I want you to do this. I want you to apply this into your life. I know that takes the grace of God. So we want to look at a few things here. Revelations 3 and 7, and I would appreciate prayer. I want to look back at this. This was the church of Philadelphia that it was speaking to. And he said to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. I'm just going to skip down and catch a few thoughts through these verses here. In verse 8 it says, I know thy works. In verse, he goes on to say, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. On down in 10, he said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I want to notice what the Lord said to these people before He said, him that overcometh will I make a pillar. He told them, because you've kept the word of my patience. Because, He said, I'll keep you. He said, you have a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. I want us to think about this morning. I know this is so simple. It's not rocket science, folks. It's diligent, constant effort to do all the will of God in my life. And if we want to get to heaven, that's the way it's going to have to be. We're going to have to start from here. We're not looking for great explosions of things in our life. We're not looking for the mighty and the powerful. We're looking to be faithful to the Lord and to His dealings and to worship the Lord and to do His will in our life. And I want to ask you, are you doing that this morning? This is a correction that we might have to make in our life. It's not rocket science. I believe the Lord's trying to get us some places. I think He wants to create in us some things that we never even thought of. I believe that. When I look at His creation, I stand in awe. I can hardly believe what God has done. It's more than our minds. We can spend a lifetime to figure out a little tiny piece of it. And yet, the great Creator, He wants to take a life that's given to Him. And He wants to begin to create in your life and mine. And He wants to take us from where we're at. Maybe we're up and down. I'm sure not throwing anything at you. I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to begin to grow. And He wants us to be different at this time next year. And He wants us in our congregations to become pillars that can bear weight. That's always there. These pillars don't move. You'll never find them moved. Lest some earthquake comes along. You know what? They're there. Folks, the Lord is looking for you and me. Because it is those that He can use. It is those that He can create in this morning. I want to look at Matthew 21 and 28. And this is the burden that the Lord really began to deal with me on. Matthew 21 and 28. Jesus said this. He said, "What think ye? But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father?" That just stuck out to me so much. "They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." He was speaking to people that were religious here. And I'm not throwing anything at us. I'm reading the Word of God that I feel like the Lord gave us for you this morning. And God help us today. There are those that take their own way. And they get tired of sin and they come back and they get saved. But there's those that say, "I go, sir." And they hear the call and they run down here to the altar, which, folks, I'm not saying anything lowering that at all. That's wonderful. But they come to the altar and then they don't go. And then they don't go home and put into their lives all the things that the Lord has been trying so hard to build into them. The Lord dealing with them. The Lord bringing circumstances into our lives to wake us and to tell us, "Hey, I want you to change courses." I want to ask you this morning, what course are you on? Are you on a steady course that becomes all the will of God? Are you listening to the voice of the Lord day by day in our lives? Maybe it's time to take heed to what the Lord said here. Because I think many times we come down and we say, "I go, sir. Lord, I'm sorry. I'll go." And then we get up and we go back and we don't go. Folks, I'm not talking about going to a mission field. I'm talking about going home and living what we have heard. I'm thinking about when the Lord deals with your heart and mine, saying only yes. Lord, I want to do your will. I don't have any other word for you but yes. When you say, Lord, when you speak, I only have yes. That's what the Lord, I believe, is asking for us this morning. It's not rocket science. Folks, the Lord wants to get us from where we are to that beautiful picture, that pillar, that work of God in our life that He wants to take us to this morning. But it only comes when we hear the Word of God as it is preached and our heart is saying, yes, Lord. That's the only way it works. I know this seems awful simple, but folks, we need pillars today. We need people that can bear weight, that don't bend and bow and twist aside and the pillar breaks or it bends and it's not able to bear the weight. The Lord is looking to make you and me a pillar. Young folks, I want to encourage you to carefully, diligently, daily seek out the will of the Lord in our lives. Seek to find what He is wanting you to do. Seek to find His graces. And I will tell you, we'll find that the Lord will give us far more than we dreamed He would. We'll find Him to be far more real than we knew God was. And we'll find Him to begin to work in us in so many ways that we never dreamed. I'm not talking about putting us on exhibition. I'm talking about God working in our heart and life. Changing who we are. Changing, calling us, giving us responsibility. That's what a pillar bears, responsibility. Do you know what Jesus was saying here? He was telling us something that has played out every day. And this one son said, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and he did the will of God. He did the will of this father here. And the second one, I go, sir. But he didn't go. He did not follow through. We have to make choices and changes in our life to be able to follow through with what the Lord wants to do. I want to ask you something this morning. What has the Lord dealt with you about in the last 5 years? At the last camp meeting at Monarch Springs, did the Lord deal with us about anything? Did we hear any of the messages that really challenged where we're at? And we were challenged to be changed into that image. And we were challenged to grow into that. We were challenged to humble ourselves before the Lord until He could work His work in our life. Do you remember anything 5 years ago? Yeah, last year, did we move into those places? I just want to encourage us this morning. Jesus went on to say that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. That's what He was talking to these people. You know why? I will tell you what I believe. And I'm going to throw this out there and you forgive me. I believe that there are too many people that believe, I want to be saved. I want to make it to heaven. I want to go this way. I just don't want to do the will of God in my life. I don't want to be sanctified. I don't want to be consecrated. I don't want to do His will completely. I just want to be good. And I want to be clean. And I want to make it. I want the goods. I want heaven. But I really don't want to live for the Lord like He really wants me to. Do you know, Jesus gave us a very grave warning here when He said, the harlots and publicans, the publicans and harlots believed Him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe Him. I'm going to ask us this morning to allow the Lord to unseat us from where we're at and begin a journey of following all of God's will in our life. And begin to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And have only one answer, and that's yes. In James 1 and 22, the way the Lord has dealt with you and me in the last few years, I just want to ask us where we are in relation to that. Have we moved into those places? Or do we still feel that we really haven't made any progress or much progress this morning? In James 1, 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." But that's not all it says. Now, folks, I don't want this to be just a message of condemnation. I hope we find a great challenge here this morning. But these are words that Jesus put in the Bible, God put in the Bible for a reason. And he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, this morning, prospering in the Lord, as we said, it's not some rocket science, folks. It's the consistent choices we make to follow the Lord in all his dealings. It's not something we have to say, well, I don't know, I have no idea. Just follow the word of the Lord. Follow the prickings of the Lord. When the Lord deals with us, let's move into that place. It's too simple, isn't it? But I want to be able to come down there and get some amazing something that I can just be a different person. Well, I believe in the power of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's an amazing thing in our life. But you know what it comes to? It comes to those who have given themselves to God. So it's not like, well, Lord, I want this thing so I can start doing your will. Do the will of the Lord now. Begin to search for him. Begin to look for God. And do you think he's not going to come in and fill your void and your soul? Do you think he's not going to come and indwell this temple when it's totally given to him? I want to tell you, he loves to do that. And so we struggle, and we desire, and we look for, and we pray for. But many times we don't do. Is that okay? Many times, I know this because we work with people too. And what we find is that many times we don't follow through and do the will of the Lord. When the Lord deals with us, we go on and we just go on for who we are. And the Lord's looking for changes. He's looking for us to humble ourselves when he deals with us and say, Lord, you're right. I don't have anything but acknowledgement for you, Lord. You know, the Lord told the Pharisees one place. He said, you can discern the face of the sky. But can you not discern the signs of the times? Maybe I'll go ahead and read that. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and 1. Listen to what Jesus said to these people. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. he goes on down there. I'll skip down to 11. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Do you know this morning, these were smart people. They were smart like you and I are. They were smart like all the rest of us. They knew the signs of the times. You know, we know the signs of the times too. We understand something about the political things going on, don't we? We understand something about the financial things of the day. But these people could not discern that the Son of God was giving them direction. And you know what? Many times, we in all of our smart behavior, in all of our understanding, we miss it just like they did. And the Lord speaks to us and gives us little things all along the way. But we miss it. And he said, you can discern the signs of the times. But he said, well, you can discern the face of the sky anyway. And he said, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And so this morning I want to encourage us today that the Lord wants us to discern. He's speaking to me again. I need to take this. I need to put it in my life. I need to be not this thing of, okay, I need to pray more. I need to pray more. No, folks. The Lord is dealing with us about praying more. He's dealing with us about making a life change. I will never again say, I can't. I don't have time. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a day that we cannot, that comes upon us and we have to get up and run. But I want to tell you something. Settle it in your heart. I am going to worship the Lord all the rest of my life. All the rest of every day, I'm going to worship the Lord. Every day, He's going to be top, front, and center of my life. You know, that's more than just saying, well, I need to pray more. The real issue is I need to make God the very center. I need to make Him first and foremost in my life. Folks, today I want to encourage you. Young folks, listen. And old folks, listen to this. The word of the Lord. The Lord wants to make you a pillar in the church of God. He wants to make you someone that can bear weight, someone that can be counted on, someone that He can reveal truth to. Do you know what? When He reveals truth to people that don't want to live for Him, they just become rebellious to that. But the Lord wants to reveal truths to His people. He wants us to understand His ways. And so the way that's done is for us to discern the dealings of the Lord and to be faithful as we go to do those things this morning. I want to look at Matthew 7 and 24. Here's another little set of scriptures we are so familiar with. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Why does Jesus come back to this thing? Why is it so? It's mentioned several times, isn't it? He knows better, doesn't he? And several, look up in the Bible sometimes where he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he cried out with vigor and with passion. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know this morning, we're prone to not really hear, are we? We're prone to hear with our ears and then we go on and we are just the same as we were before. But Jesus told us something here that is very, very powerful in our lives. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That is the way it is with people that hear the dealings of the Lord, whatever they are, and put them into their life. When the storms come, why did they have grace to stand? Because it's just the way it is. God makes it that way, doesn't He? They've got a foundation under them. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I feel a little foolish this morning. This is just seems like such simple ABCs. I know we know it, but do we do it this morning? Do you know that he talks about great was the fall of this house? You know why? Because they heard the sayings just like the rest of them did. But they didn't do it. They didn't go home and change their life, their lifestyle. Well, I don't have time for the word of the Lord. Well, if you don't have time for the word of the Lord, then you need to change your life, your lifestyle. Because that has to be first. And there's a dynamic that begins to work when we do that, that begins to change things. We change our lifestyle and put God first, and all of a sudden He works things out so it can be done. And we're thinking, it can't be done. It can't be done. Folks, if we don't have time to be in service, generally speaking, I just want to say we really need to consider. If we cannot be in service consistently, I know people have to stay home with sick. And there's things like that. But I will tell you, the Lord wants us, and He tells us, and it is His word, to be there, doesn't He? He tells us to be there. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Simple, isn't it? But I find that many people don't do it. You know, when we don't do that, we don't get the next step. And that's what the Lord was going to say to us at that service. That He gave specifically for us, maybe. Maybe a testimony from someone else that just went through what we're going through. And the Lord wanted us to step up a notch on all that. He wanted us to build. And we weren't there. We weren't there. And so, the years go by. And we wonder, why can't I get this? Why can't I get settled? I'll tell you why. It's just simple. Do the will of the Lord. And you'll get settled. Today. I want to look at Matthew 25 and 14. The word of the Lord is so precious to our lives, isn't it? He's given us so much, and if we'll just take it and eat it and use it, it'll make us grow. I want to read this little account here, starting at verse 14 in Matthew 25. We're all very familiar with this, and this is a very simple illustration, but the Lord gave it. He said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them unto them his goods, and unto one." Now, he said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's like a man that traveled to a far country, disappeared off the scene. Was he gone? Well, you couldn't see him there. He still owned the place, didn't he? You know, the kingdom of heaven is a little bit like that, isn't it? Where is the Lord? Well, let's read on. "And unto one he gave 5 talents. What is a talent? Anyway? You know, he divided his responsibilities, his goods, his money to his people. And I'm thinking this morning, I'm gonna label this for this setting, okay? Responsibilities. And he divided unto them the things that he had in his kingdom. And he said here, he gave 1 5 talents and another 2. And to another 1, to every one according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Do you know, these people received more from the Lord, didn't they? They received more of his goods. They received more of his blessing. They received more responsibilities. But you know what he said to them? He didn't say, you've been a superstar. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. You've been faithful over the little bit that I gave you. I'll make you a ruler over many things. Because I know that same faithful streak that you've got, that same faithful element in your life is going to make you faithful when I give you a lot of things. And so he gives truth. He gives life. He gives responsibilities. He gives callings. I love that. He gives callings. Young folks, you want a life that's worthwhile. You want a life that when you get done has some value. Let the Lord give you a calling. It's not something you do. It's something you be faithful to the Lord. And it's something He does. And it's not something, well, I want to go be faithful. Follow the Lord diligently where you are. Because He has some things ahead for you. When He brings you up to a hard place, don't bury it. Don't say, I can't. Let the Lord take you through that. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to risk your life, if that's what it takes for the Lord. Be willing to say, Lord, all I want to know is your will. And I will tell you, when you do it that way, it all works. It just works this morning. Oh, the Lord help us today to see a vision that we're not hearers only, but doers of the word. As I said a while ago, I really fear that there is an idea, hey, I'm saved. I know I'm not sanctified. I'm saved. But what is sanctified anyway? Does that mean that, oh, I want to go down and I want to get the Holy Spirit? I want to tell you what sanctified means. It means I give myself to Him. I put myself, if you will, on the altar of God, meaning at His will, whatever He wants me to do. And do you know when you do that, folks, life changes. His Lord said unto him, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, and I have to think, this 1 talent, and maybe the Lord would have wanted this fellow to have several talents. It's possible. He came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And this frightens me. And he said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to give us warning that I believe is from the Lord this morning. If you want to be saved, but you never want to give your life to the Lord, I want to tell you what that's like. That's like this fellow with one talent. He went, he got the one talent. He was a child of God. He got his little bit. But you know what? He just wanted to make it to heaven. He just wanted to be all right with the Lord, but not do the will of the Lord. We can't do it that way. And I fear that there are going to be people sitting right among us that feel like, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm clean. I've been doing the will of the Lord. But refusing all our life long to give ourselves to God. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're one of those people, you're liable to come to the judgment and there's been gnashing of teeth and weeping. Because yes, we got a talent and we buried it. And we never took it and did the will of the Lord. I want to encourage us this morning. The Lord loves you and me. And He sends many pricks and many messages. And many times He deals with our hearts. But I want to tell you, it's a fearful thing to take our own way all our life and feel like, well, I think I can make it. That's akin to the man that I met on the job one time. I didn't just meet him. I was a friend of his. I knew him. And he was a wild young man. And he let me know. He said, I just want to have faith right at the last. He said, if I can just have faith, because he just believed you had to have faith, that's all. Had to have a little faith. I can make it. And so, you know, and he said he believed that there was another chance anyway. You know what that's like? That's like this fella that has the one talent and takes it and says, I'm saved. I want to be saved. I'm going to meet the Lord in peace now. I'm not going to do His will. I'm not going to give my life to Him. Folks, it don't work that way. The Lord requires it all. Does He? Is this right? The Lord requires it all. I fear that there's going to be good people right among us that we love dearly. That is going to come to that day. And the Lord's going to say, what'd you do with it? And they're going to say, well, Lord, I was good. Lord, I lived for You. The first 13 verses of this chapter deals with an issue a lot like this. And Jesus gave us three scenarios in the 25th chapter of Matthew. The first 13 verses, He deals with those that keep themselves. They were all virgins. But some of them, half of these, just let the oil leak out of their life. I personally don't believe half of us are going to do that. I think we're a group within the world that is seeking the Lord. But you know what? He said at the end of that, He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And then He goes on and changes subjects. And He says, now, you know, in other words, you not only have to keep your life pure, keep the oil of the Spirit of the Lord working in your life. You know what? The Lord told us that. Do we do it? Do we really do it? Or when we leave here, does life change? And we really don't do that. And we really don't seek the Lord with all of our heart. That's the case many times, folks. I meet it. I believe we know what we're saying here this morning. Do you know the Lord's looking for a little more than that? He's looking for us to pick up and do the will of the Lord. And then the last part of the chapter is dealing with a whole nother three different scenarios. He's telling us the judgment scene's not just going to be whether you was a virgin or not. It's not even just going to be. He's bringing in different aspects of it. It's going to go on to say, what did you do with all those messages? And I burdened that brother all night long. Over and over, he was burdened for you. And you didn't listen. You unfaithful servant, slothful, depart from me into everlasting fire. Is that the way it's going to be? I'm going to believe the word of the Lord this morning. And I want to make my life so that it reflects that. Folks, I'm not trying to preach condemnation on good people. I know we have many wonderful people here that know the Lord. But I just want to encourage us. When we hear the word of the Lord, let's be doers. God is looking for a building that is alive, lively stones in it. And he's looking to take your life and make it into that. And you say, well, but I'm not, I can't get there. Yes, you can, because God is trying to get you there. He's sending words to you. And we don't do them many times. He's sending challenges to you and me. He sends his Bible to us. And he says, read the word. Study it. Be studious about it. But we don't have time for that. We don't have energy for that. It all got burned up on our cell phone. You know what, this morning, I just want to encourage us today. The way of the Lord is so good. I wish I could implant that into your heart. The way of the Lord is so good. Giving your life to the Lord is so good. It only gets better. It only yields more fruit. It only yields more dividends. It only is good this morning. Now, do we have hardship? We sure do, but I want to tell you something. When the inside is okay anyway, then we can do it. We can deal with that, can't we? What we can't deal with is being destroyed. And that's what the devil wants to do in our life this morning. The Lord, help us today that we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. I want to read a few other places, Matthew 16 and 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Now listen to his words here this morning, because he means what he says. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's consider this morning. Let's consider where we are at today. And look at ourselves. Have I looked in the looking glass? Have I looked in the mirror and forgot? Have I forgot what the Lord dealt with me last year? And he said, put away those worldly things. And he said, change your way. And maybe he said, you know what? The way you're dressing doesn't glorify me. And we think, it's small stuff. No, it's the Lord's dealings with us. And he's wanting to take us from where we are to where we can bear weight, to where our life is meaningful and it has purpose. And I want to challenge you this morning, Lord, would you search me? Because it's not only about eternal life, Lord, I want to do your will while I'm here. I want your life in my life. I want my life to be a reflection of that. Listen to what he said in Luke 14. And 26 to 33, we just read where Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And in Luke 14 and 26, he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now we have to understand what the Lord's saying here. He's not telling you to hate yourself. He's telling you to love yourself less than him and love him first. And he said, If any man doesn't do this, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do you know this morning? I believe this, the scriptures here. We have to take up our cross, whatever that is. And sometimes that's a heavy thing. Jesus couldn't bear his cross alone. And you and I may not be able to bear ours alone sometimes too. It's going to take some help, and the Lord's going to have to supply that this morning. But I want to tell you, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, didn't he? He bore that thing. But I want us to consider what the scripture says at the end. It says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What's that mean? Does that mean he's not going to save you? Does that mean, what's it really mean? You know what I believe? There are many that get saved, and they cannot find grace to stay saved. They cannot find it. Folks, I'm not throwing stones at you, but I want to tell you something. When you make God first in your life, you'll find grace. I stand by that. When you make God first in your life, you will find the grace to live a holy life. You will find the grace to live for God in your circumstances where you're at, or else God will deliver you from those circumstances. Is that true? I believe it is this morning. Oh, the Lord, help us today that we can be his people and that we can follow him. And I want to read on down there. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? I want to ask you this morning to count the cost. You know what the Lord's dealt with you about. Maybe you've forgotten some things. Count up the cost and make a decision about serving God. I want to tell you something. We need the Lord to move on more people than he has. And we thank God for all that he's done. Thank the Lord for those whom he has called. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants to move on you in some way. And he says, which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Jesus said, just count the cost up, folks. Don't just decide, you know, hey, I think I want to be saved. Now, I don't want to live for the Lord, but I want to be saved. I'm scared. I want to tell you, you've got something to be scared about if you're not living for the Lord. You've got something to be scared about if you're not giving him your all this morning. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I will tell you, it's not because we have so much on hand. It's because we give it all to God. And then we're able to finish it. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So the Lord bless us this morning. I want to encourage us to forsake all that we have. He's not asking you to, well, what great thing is he looking for? He's looking for first a willing heart. First thing, Lord, I just want to do it your way. And if you'll show me how, I'll do it. Do you know this morning the Lord will show you how? If you take that kind of an attitude toward it. Living for the Lord is an awesome way to live. And I want to encourage us today to lay down our life and hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, how can I be a pillar? How can I live in a way that's consistent year after year until I get the crown? It's pretty simple, actually. By doing the will of the Lord, by seeking Him. I want to read two more places. Hebrews 5 and 12. Listen to this. Such a challenge. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. You know, there's a time that we ought to be at a certain point in our spiritual life. That's scripture this morning. I'm reading it to you. When for the time, it is time today. It is time for us to decide, okay, Lord, I understand. I'm going to go your way. I'm going to pay the price no matter what. If I have to crawl, I'm going to crawl. If I have to fight, I'm going to fight. If I have to lay myself down, I'm going to lay myself down. Listen, we can make it if we will. Listen to this. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What's that indicating? That's indicating a baby. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, this morning I have been amazed at the lack of discernment sometimes in simple things like dress. Folks, we don't want to be on exhibition, do we? Doesn't the Lord deal with us once in a while like that? Yes, He does. We'll never go on and get the goods until we deal with what He deals with us with first. You know what? When He says be becoming, that's what modest means, be becoming of a Christian. Don't put our body on exhibition. You know what? I know that's just a little thing, isn't it? Has the Lord dealt with you about it? Let's move right in there. Oh, but it's embarrassing to look like a saint. Listen, I want to tell you what's embarrassing, and that's when you stand before God and you say, Lord, I buried my talent, but here it is. I tried to be clean and pure all the way, and He says, depart from me. That's going to be embarrassing, folks. That's going to be rough. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to challenge us this morning. It's time, folks. It's time for us to grow up to be teachers. Teachers. Who are we going to teach? I'm not a teacher. You've got children, you're a teacher. I want to tell you something. You ever going to have children, you're going to be a teacher. And at that time, you better know how to teach them. Because I've seen too many parents, and I've been there to try to help them with compassion because I feel the weight of it. I'm sorry. I missed my time. I wasn't there for my children. I know I wasn't there. And now my children, would you pray with me? I'm not making fun. Believe me, my heart cries every time I see that. But I see it. And I see it too many times. All this morning, there's a time that we ought to be grown up enough in the Lord to share it with our children. And not only our children, but to share it with others. We ought to be grown up enough in the Lord to share our life, to have a testimony, to have a responsibility, to be stable, to be there, and to be counted on this morning. I believe if we'll do that, folks, the Lord will exceed your greatest expectations, I believe. You pray for me.